Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
All right, if you are joining us first time this series, we are on a series called... We got friends Andrew and Olivia here. This is either going to look really bad for me or really bad for them, because this is the review part of the service. So we'll find out either I taught well or you didn't listen well. I'm not sure which one it is. Okay, so just a quick review. This is the end of the series, but I woke up or actually went to bed last night with the thought that it really doesn't matter how much I teach. It matters how much you put into practice, right? I could unload incredible revelation, and hopefully part of it was. I can give you ideas and thoughts, but the reality is, unless you put any of this into practice, it's just another teaching. Life goes on. I could do another series next year called Overload, and you'd be like, yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm overloaded. Right? The goal is to get out of overload. So this is the review. The bricks are to throw at you if you get the answers wrong. Just joking. What is this about? Tell me. Give me some. Remind me. It's our tank. Our capacity. Capacity for what? Life. The regular. The stressful sometimes. It's all part of it, right? Getting the kids off to school. You know, loved one that gets sick. It's all part of it. This is all part of it. It's our capacity and how much we can handle. So here's the first thing. Four things. What were we? We just said one. Capacity is one. What else affects this? How much goes in? What's that? Pace. How quickly it goes in. Sometimes we have those moments where it's just a steady stream. It comes and goes. You rest. It diminishes. It comes. So that's the pace, the capacity. There's two more. Meaning. What are you attributing your thoughts? How are you receiving what culture tells you? How is that being interpreted with what you think? Are you combating what culture is telling you? You receiving what culture is telling you? All that. That's all meaning. The other thing about meaning is when something is important to you, how many know you can push on if it's important? Right? If you have vision, sometimes with vision, you could do incredible things for a season. So meaning plays a huge role. And there was one more we talked about. Support. Who is in your life? Ask that hard question. Who really knows you? Not who knows you. Who really knows you? Who really knows what's going on? Had a chance to sit down and even with a couple friends and just talk about that. Who really knows what's going on in your life? We're good hiders and fakers, aren't we? We really are. You know, you're driving over to church and you're contemplating how difficult things are and something you're stuck in, whether it's sin or pain, and you walk through the doors. How you doing, brother? If I was any better, I'd be in heaven. We got to get, now, again, it's not the other thing where you just fall apart when you walk through the door, but certainly there's got to be somewhere in between, right? Right. All right. So did they put those up there when I was... Going to say, wow, you guys look better than you were then. Load is what you carry, meaning is what you believe. Pace is how fast it's coming. Support, who carries it with you. So what I want to do today is I want to transition into next Saturday. Next Saturday can either be an event or it can be a lifestyle change for us. Because everything we've talked about, if you've just looked at it and your conclusion at the end of the series is, you're absolutely correct, I'm overloaded, then you missed it. You missed some of the application steps of how do we get out of overload. We talked about the massive amount of information. Anybody become more aware of the information that's being thrown at you since we talked about it? A couple hands. Have you noticed that your mind struggles sometimes to switch off? Yeah. So we're going to have this thing next week called the Saturday Sabbath Service. And it could just be a summertime thing where we're like, wow, what an event. Or it could be an event that becomes part of your life that changes your life. A little aside thing here. We're in a very active season. I don't want to use the word busy. It's busy. my daughter's getting married. I think you guys know that, right? Aaron's getting married. Anybody know that? Yeah, she's getting married September the 5th. She's the youngest, but she's getting out the soonest. It's funny. She's the youngest, often acts like the oldest, and she is so prepared. So since like the day that she got engaged, we've been planning this wedding and all the things that go with it. And it's interesting, right? The anticipation that comes with a wedding. How many have ever had a child married? Raise your hand. Are you laughing that they got married? She left. Yeah, I got married. I made it. The anticipation that comes with getting married. The anticipation that comes with planning a wedding. Like we're at that stage where, you know, the invitations have been sent and we're getting the who's coming. So the list, the tables are being made and all that. The bridal shower's coming up. So every day there's more anticipation. And about a week ago, I just floating in my pool. I had a chance to kind of just settle down and rest. And I actually began to think about the fact that my daughter's leaving the house. There's moments where you're like, my daughter's leaving the house. But that was a moment where I thought, my daughter's leaving the house. And just that, hi, daughter. Yes, we're talking about you. Just that interesting thing that I realized in that moment that when that ring goes on their fingers, I'm not the dad in the sense of responsible anymore. There's now a man in her life that takes that position. It's just this incredible mix of feelings of excitement, and Mac's a wonderful man. Mac's been in our life forever. So it's just amazing. I'm anticipating this. Why am I telling you this? As I was researching Sabbath and preparation, it's so interesting that a couple centuries ago, a song was written that they began to see and treat Sabbath as a bride that comes. My beloved cometh. And there's this beautiful song that they sing, and I will not even try because I do not know how to sing Hebrew. But there's this song that they anticipate that Sabbath is coming. Now, I want you to get this for a minute. It's not another day in the week that they have to prepare. The Jewish people look at it, the ones that are faithful to this, they're like, it's like a bride that comes and we are anticipating all week Sabbath rest. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to share between now and next Saturday some things that I think are key of sometimes we look at why Jewish people are blessed. Well, I think I know some reasons why they're blessed, and you may go, well, because the Son of God came from them, yes. But I'll tell you this, if 52 times a year you lay hands on your kids and you declare, may the Lord's face shine upon you. May he be good to you. I don't know, maybe there's a blessing that comes with that. And so I want you to think about next week, not as, well, he's asking us to do this, and it's, you know, I'm going to do it to try it. I want you to think of it as, how do you make the Sabbath the most restful, delightful, full of worship 24-hour period you can have? Could you look at it as, we're expecting a guest next week. Next Saturday, Sabbath is coming, and it's going to be full of rest. Amen? Now, I don't know everybody's schedules. I'm hoping some can join in, some can't, but let's go with it. See the Lord's? He says yes. All right, turn in your Bibles. I'm going to give you four new things today. Well, we won't put up those questions, Blaine, just yet. I'll tell you when. That's actually because I haven't told them when I would be putting them up, not because he was cheating. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Mark 2, verse 27. This is a lot. A lot of people will say, well, when you talk about Sabbath, you're going Old Testament, you're going legalism. It's interesting when people say that because a lot of times they still want things like the Ten Commandments posted, which is the Old Covenant. But anyway, you can think about that for a few minutes because we're under a what? A new covenant, which is more full of love and full of, like, all those things in the Old Covenant are like next level in the new covenant, if you're living in love. But in Mark 2, verse 27, it says, this is Jesus, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and man not for the Sabbath. And this is this whole idea where you don't keep the Sabbath to make God happy. He gave you the Sabbath as a gift to get you more whole. I'll do what Bill Johnson does. I'll try that on this side of the room. It's not legalistic. He didn't give it to you so you can make him happy. He gave it to you so it's a gift to give wholeness back into your life. And he's saying in this scripture, he says, listen, Sabbath is not for me. It's not for you to honor me. It's for you. And here's another translation that makes it even more understandable. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. It's for us. It's like he gives us a gift. He's like, hey, look, you got a gift. But unfortunately, religion gets in there and we start thinking, no, that's legalism. What do you mean? Don't tell me I can't do anything on the Sabbath. No, I'm not telling you can't do anything. I'm telling you things that you really could do. That's what we're going to look at here. All right, number one thing to make next Saturday when we start 6 o'clock, the number one thing to make it successful, does anybody know what you have to do? Be here on time is good. We're going to get to that. The only way you can Sabbath is to stop. The only way to Sabbath is to stop. You cannot Sabbath in a hurried pace. Let's hurry up and do Sabbath. Hurry up and let's talk. Hurry up. I'll say this a couple times through, and you'll begin to understand. When is the last time you enjoyed a meal that you rushed through? Anybody? Like, oh my gosh, this is great. Steak ever. This is amazing. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Or is it steak that's cut and every bite? Have you ever had one of those? Every bite, you're like, There's a funny sitcom about it. Oh, it was, I'm going to remember at some point. There was a movie made where Billy Crystal, I think it was, or somebody, every bite he takes, he's like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And they're like, that's great. And the next bite, oh my gosh. That's what it's like to eat a meal in rest. But often we're shoving food down. We don't taste a bite. You get done something, you're like, did I eat my whole steak? Right? Or your hamburger's gone. I'm like, I think I had a hamburger, didn't I? Next Saturday can't be like that. So the first thing you have to do is stop. And here's the big idea. Sabbath begins with one courageous act. Stop. Now here's the thing. Stop not because all the work is finished. That's the hard part. Don't stop because all the work is finished, but because God says, enough is done. It's okay. Rest. How many have a hard time when something's not done? Raise your hand. So you have two choices. You'll never win with the first one, but I'll give you the first choice. Get everything done. How many know you'll fail at that one? The second choice is get as much done as you can and then stop. Because you can't get to point number two unless you can do point number one. You have to stop. And here's the thing. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but it is a reminder. Sabbath is actually saying, God, I trust you to take care of things. So I'm going to stop. Think of it this way. It's like the 7 days of creation, and he gets to the day and he says, I'm stopping what I'm doing so I can rest. God is saying, I'm going to rest. Why? Because he's tired? He ran out of steam? No. But we jump in and we go, it's okay, God, I got you covered. I'll do the night shift. Does that make any sense? He's like, no, I covered it. Why are you taking over? You're not God. So we have to be willing to go, you know what? I did all that I could do, and now I'm going to stop and be okay. I'm going to be okay with the fact that I see a little bit of dust in the corner. I'm okay that I didn't get that email when I wanted to, but for 24 hours, I don't think it's going to make a difference. I'm okay that the grass didn't get cut or the bushes didn't get trimmed and all the things that I had that list. I'm going to be okay with just stopping. That's the first thing you got to do. Here's the thing. This is why I brought the bricks in. Do you guys remember we talked about Pharaoh? Do you remember we talked about, thank you. He remembers we talked about Pharaoh. Jason, did you remember? You taking notes from your son? I just saw you awkward. He's like, no, I'm taking notes for me. We talked about Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the slave driver, right? He was making them build bricks. They were in slavery. Do you remember we talked about at the beginning, they equated back to God said to have Shabbat or take a rest. But after they got out of slavery, they brought it back to remember when you were slaves. Because when we're not careful, we will continue to work, but we don't have a slave driver anymore, except for us. So we build a brick and we think it's enough. And then Pharaoh would be like, no, you can make one brick a day. Now I want you to build two bricks a day. And we talked all about this. Oh, you can get one TV. Now you need three. You have one car. Now you need five. Your car's not new. You need a new one. And we just keep building and building and building and building and building. And then when I say take a break, there's no way you can take a break. So Pastor Gary said it last week too. She quoted John Mark Comer. Sabbath is an act of resistance. Sabbath is an act where you say, I am resisting culture. Rest is an act of resistance where you say, I am stopping. I am resisting culture. So number one thing you have to do is stop. Stopping is an act of trust. Stopping is trusting that God can handle what I cannot for the next 24 hours. So here's what we're going to do. I mentioned this last week. We're going to have a box up here. I'm planning out the whole service. I really am excited because I think it's going to be powerful. But what we're going to do, we're going to do a few very symbolic things. But one of the first things we're going to do, two things, is at one point, we're going to change our capacity full of water to a capacity with a candle in it. And this is something, this is not me, this is Jewish culture. They start the holy day when they light the candle and they actually make a distinction. This day, as that candle lights from here on in for 24 hours, this is a holy day. But we're not going to light that candle until we do one thing first. We're going to stop, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a box up here. And I'm going to give you time, after we celebrate a little bit, I'm going to give you time to go, what do I need to stop? And when I write it on this paper, I am by faith going to stop. So when you come up and put those things in, because how many know, it was Connie that said, can I put my kids in the box? Do you remember that? Okay, there are some things you cannot put in the box. Can't you put your spouse? You can't put your kids. You can't put all the other things. But there are some things that you go, you know what, for 24 hours, this worry that is overwhelming me, I'm going to put it in the box for 24 hours. I'm going to trust God with it. And when it comes up, you have to go, no, I put it in the box. I put it in your hands, Lord. I'm not going to think about this for 24 hours. I'm looking forward to that. Because how many know that you could stop, sit down, and not stop? Right? Come on, let's be, how many have ever been in a conversation and you are talking and in the back, you got two brains, right? You got one brain that's like, yeah, that's right, honey. Sure, I remember that. And your other brain's going, I need to send the email, cut the grass. Anybody else want to be real? And then your spouse is like, focus. You're like, what? I am. Totally. No, you're not. So we're going to put these things in the box and we're going to say, I'm taking 24 hours. Who's with me on that? Anybody? That could be unfinished work, worries, fear, things you forgot, what needs to be done on Monday. These are the things that I encourage you to walk away from for 24 hours, things to stop. Stop your phone, stop your laptop, emails, work, homework. Homework? Oh, I got the kids' attention. I got one anyway. I know school's out, but you wonder why kids like the Sabbath. It's the only time your parents go, are you doing work? Stop it. You're like, this is the greatest day ever. House projects, shopping. But the stores are open and I like to rest while I shop. That's actually work. And I know it could be fun, but that's not what rest is. Social media, news. The reality is these things are not sinful. They just occupy us, right? Okay, so the first set of questions you could put up, Blaine, I want you to take a second and I will send these out Monday or Tuesday. I want you to put out the questions for stop, Blaine, if you could, please. What, and I want you to ask, this is the active part of our service here. You don't have to tell me, but take a second. What is hardest for you to stop? What is the thing that is hardest for you to stop? What's that thing that calls your name and you're like, oh, I gotta finish this? What's that thing that you're gonna fight over yourself with? Yeah, this isn't really what he's talking about. This is not what he means. I'm sure, well, it is what he means, but it doesn't one thing. What is that? And what are you afraid will happen if you don't do it? Ooh, that hits the heart. What's going to happen if you don't do it? If your grass is not cut, what are you afraid of? What won't happen? Nothing will happen. But what's the root? See, this is where we begin to go, Lord, these are the questions that expose either our lies or our idols. If my grass isn't cut and it's long, what will my neighbors think? What will my in-laws think? Oh my gosh, I've invited my in-laws over for Sabbath and they're going to show up and my grass isn't cut and there's dust on the piano. What will they think of me? See, it all comes together. What has culture taught us? My worth comes from what I do. And if it's not done, where is my value? That's the lie we believe. And yet Jesus creates man, and what does he do the next day? Stop. You don't have to work. Rest. Where does his value come from? Child of God. Not by what he did, not by what they did, by who they were. So stopping can be the hardest thing that exposes our idols. Our lies, all that. Number two, if you can stop, you get to the next level, which is, anybody know? You don't have to put those questions up just yet. The second thing is this, if you can't stop, you can't get to rest. There is no rest if you can't stop. If you can't stop what you're doing, there's no rest. If you can't stop your mind, there's no rest. If you can't stop and be in the presence of the Lord, there's no rest. Pastor Gary did a wonderful job last week talking about a spiritual rest. Well, listen, if you want to get to a spiritual rest, you better first learn how to rest, right? And we're not talking about resting by watching Netflix all day. Now, that could be something you go, hey, let's watch a movie together. It's not that. But how many know that you could sit in front of a TV all day and not rest, right? Rest is a state. It's interesting that there's two parts. There's stop and then there's rest. And a lot of times the words rest comes with, and the Holy Spirit rested upon the Son. It's this idea that when you have stopped, something can rest upon you. And we have to be willing to go, I'm stopping so I can have something rest upon me, which is the Lord. This is the idea. Stopping is what we do. Rest is what God does in us. Stopping is what we do. Rest is what God does in us because we've stopped. You following me? Thank you, Lord. We've read this scripture. Blaine, if you could find it for me, Matthew 11. We've put it up a few times. It's again, if you don't know this scripture, Matthew 11, 28. The version I have, and he'll put up the, I think it's the message. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you a vacation. Praise the Lord. I will give you a week off. What does it say? I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary. I will give you rest. There's some in here that are weary from life. You're weary from work. You're weary from the load that you've been carrying. And God next, well, he wants to do it anytime, but I'm trying to challenge you to prepare so you can go, Lord, I'm going to take a day of rest where you can come upon me. Rest truly isn't found in a place. Rest is found in a person, right? Going back to why they equate it back to rest after coming out of Egypt, it's because this is the thing. Slaves don't rest. Slaves always produce. Slaves always perform. Slaves always meet quotas. Slaves are only valuable by what they accomplish. And I know we'd all say, no, that's not me. But listen, if you are constantly having to step up, produce more, somehow someone or you have put a slave mentality on you. And unless you want to find rest, you have to stop. Good? All right. We're going to move because this is, I'm going to give you some examples here. What does rest look like next week? Here's things you have permission for, and this is only a small amount. Rest looks like sleeping. Anybody, yay, amen? You should, amen. Taking a nap. Praise the Lord. You're not old. I love naps. Anybody else? There's nothing like a nice day, not like the last 6 days we've had, but that day where you're outside and there's a breeze and a chair or hammock and you just kind of nod off. Oh, you hear the birds. I'm taking Jason away. Oh, yeah, brother. Take me to Jamaica, man. It's interesting, just a little side note. It has been so hot. I should have put the picture up. My brother sent this picture to me. It's his picture. He took it. And his squirrels, not his, he doesn't own them. The squirrels are laying on the fence, like their legs over. They're laying on it like, ugh. I thought, that's how we all feel, isn't it? And then my mom made note. I didn't, but she said, you know, the birds weren't even singing. It's like, I got nothing. The birds need rest too. All right, so you can take a nap. You can go for a walk. See, this is where legalism sets in. In the Jewish culture, with legalism, they've made the set number of steps you can go for a walk. Because after that many steps, it becomes work. Fooey. You want to walk 3 miles because you love walking and that makes your heart come alive, then you walk 3 miles. Sit on the deck. Read a novel, laugh, take your kids for ice cream. Take me for ice cream. Watch the sunset, sit quietly with Jesus. We're gonna get into the next one, but let me just begin to transition. Have you noticed, we talked about it at the beginning, when you stop and you rest, have you ever noticed how things start to come alive again in you? Have you ever noticed you can see a sunset every night? You could drive, look at the sunset. But when you actually stop, let's say you're at a beach or on a mountain and you stop and you are watching the sunset, how many go, that's amazing. I forgot how nice sunsets are. Right? Because you have stopped and you're resting. I remember sitting a couple, maybe two Christmases ago, and I remember sitting at the table And the whole family, my mom and dad and my brother and was down and my Aunt Joanne, I remember stopping and I just looked. I was resting. I was calm. And I thought, I'm so blessed. My whole family's here. Well, if you're rushing around, it's pretty hard to go, oh my gosh, my family's here. This is great. High five, everyone. It was a moment where I was just sitting in my chair and it was like I could take notice. I delighted that my family was with me. You can't get to where we're going next, which is delight, until you stop, rest, and then the Lord begins to open up your eyes. The questions for rest. What makes it hard for you to rest? I want you to ponder. Oh, the second one, doesn't that hit? Do you secretly feel guilty for resting? Anybody want to admit to that? I did for a long time. I struggled. I would be resting and I'd feel bad. Like I'm being bad right now. Stop and think. God calls us to rest. And when we rest, we feel bad. Do you think he's the author of that? He's the author of lies. So I'm pretty sure that's a lie. Why do we feel bad? Because we've bought a lie. That I must produce all the time. And if I'm not producing, I am less than. I am therefore bad. You see the twisted lies? So next Saturday, I want you to rest and not feel guilty. For Pete's sake, for 24 hours, let your body relax. Let your mind rest. What are you afraid of will happen if you stop producing? The world will fall apart. You're probably not keeping it together, so just let it fall apart then. Chances are it falls apart on multiple days. Just be like, Lord, I got to let you take this. Now, all that being said, the reality is something could happen in somebody's life where you can't be like, sorry, I'm Sabbathing. I can't come to the hospital right now for my husband. That makes no sense. Things may happen. I hope not. But I'm talking about the regular stuff you can't control. What does your inability to rest reveal about what you're trusting? I'm going to send these questions. I hope you take this week to ponder these questions and go, wow, what is at the root of that? Like, Lord, zero in on that. What is that? I told you, if you weren't here last week, I love the story about Connie, a friend in Calgary, I believe, who knows the Lord called her to do this inner city stuff. And every month it's like she doesn't know where the money's coming from. And she's crying out to the Lord in the morning going, Lord, or in the car, I believe it was, Lord, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills this week. And she had a good job before this. She was making good money. Okay, so now she's like, Lord, you asked me not to do that job. You asked me to do this. What are we going to do? And she pulled up to the car in front of her and the license plate said Faithful. Yeah. And she got home later that day and somebody showed up at her door with the exact money that she needed to pay the bills that day. So who made all that happen? Certainly not her. She prayed and she's like, God, I don't know what to do. So we got to trust. Okay, number three, time's a ticking. The next one. So you've stopped. You're getting into that place of rest. We already started to talk about it. Delight. Delight. What are you going to delight in next Sunday? Anybody have plans yet? We got a few. One of the things I hope to do on Saturday night, Krista and I have to actually discuss this today, what it's going to look like. But Saturday night when I get home, I plan on feasting. Anybody like food? I like food. I like a lot of good food. So we're going to talk about what does that good food look like. I want to feast Saturday night. Sunday morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have a time with my kids. Because one of the things that we love to do, you may say, oh, isn't that work? No. We love to sit around our Blackstone and we get up in the morning when we have a chance and we cook breakfast on the Blackstone. We play music and we just talk. And our kids have begun to ask when we're doing this again. I'm like, well, that's going in there. Because when I get to sit with my kids and we're talking and we're delighting and they're adults and they're telling us our life, their life, how many know that's a delight? I love it. And then Sunday, if it's like this, bummer. I hope it's not raining. But I have to have a game plan if it is, because Sabbath doesn't stop. So that could mean games inside the house. I don't know, but hopefully it's going to be pool and lounging and a nap. But I hope to have moments throughout the day where I'm going to get quiet and think about what God has done in my life. See, the thing, and I'll transition, I'll just talk about a couple of these things together. See, when you stop and you rest and then you begin to open your eyes to delight, it should turn you back to worship. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Church, just go home today and look at our houses that have been running air conditioners nonstop, right? We're like, it's so hot out. I'm going into my 70 plus whatever degree home. And there are people on the streets. There are people in other nations. There are people in Europe, normal cities that don't have air conditioning because they don't normally get that hot, and they were dying. I always think of those things. I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, birthed that into me. You're so grateful for everything. I'm like, Lord, thank you. Not everything's great in our nation, but I'm thank you for air conditioning. As I was driving down the road discussing with my coworker how hot it was because I was cutting grass, but then I was getting cold because the air was so strong. I'm like, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for air conditioning. There's so many things. And I think it only comes when we stop and we delight because we realize it, that we can turn our eyes and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what we have. Amen. Let me give you some thoughts for delight. And then I'm going to give you a question. I love this. Richard Foster, a writer, says this about celebration and Sabbath. He says, celebration, there we go, is a discipline. Celebration is a discipline. He says, joy is a spiritual discipline. Joy is not an emotion, it's something we cultivate. I'll read one more time. Celebration is a discipline. When we live in a world where everything around us is negative, turn on the news, turn on social media, turn on hear your people talking, negative, negative, negative. When you choose to celebrate, it's actually a discipline. So next Sunday, when you have an act of resistance and you're going to rest, you're actually going to have a spiritual discipline. You're going to go, I choose today to celebrate. And for some of you, it's even a deeper celebration of discipline because you've gone or are in a season of tough times and you have to go, I choose today to celebrate. I choose to celebrate. I choose joy. And it is a spiritual discipline. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But with all that we have, I'm very aware, I will be first to say how guilty I am of going, oh man, it's so tough. Oh, we're blessed, aren't we? Amen. I'll read this. Delight is an act of faith. Delight is not pretending life is easy. Delight is declaring God is good, even in grief, even in uncertainty, even in suffering. God is still good. I'll skip that for next week. Just quick couple things. I've already mentioned this. Next week, I hope, one of the things that you do is delight in a meal with family or friends. And that you take the time next week and you sit around the table, and I hope a couple things happen. I hope you laugh a whole lot. If you're serious, we all have to talk about God today. Pastor said so. But you're going to do that, but don't do it like that. Right? First of all, laugh. Ask Ryan. He did, how many days did you do dad jokes for how many years? Are you still doing them? Oh, thank God. I'm joking. I'd go over to his house. He'd have a joke of the day, and I'd be like, wow, that's terrible and funny and terrible all at the same time. If you need to, find a funny story to tell your family. Better yet, find some stories in your life. Guys, do you remember that time when we went camping? All it has to do is start there. How many have a camping story that's funny? Just me. Raise your hand. You know that story like us when it is downpouring and our kids are small and they're whining because it's loud and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, I'm getting wet. I'm like, no, you're not getting wet. It's just your imagination. And because it was a big tent. It was like the Hilton big tent. And finally, I'm like, all right, I'll come over and check you. And they were drenched. There was a river running through it, literally. And they're like, it's dripping on them. So I felt so bad. I'm like, go sleep with mommy and I'm going to sleep in the water. It's funny now. And they laugh at it. We have a lot of things that we laugh at now. I'm almost done. Let me tell you this one. I might have told you this one. I laugh at this. They don't laugh so hard. We would always take the kids, my brothers and I, we'd take them kind of like backwoods camping, like survival camping. And my brother Sean lives up north. He would always pick the spot. And so this one year he picked a spot and I knew roughly where we were because I used to take our youth up there. And it's called L'Auberge. But the kids didn't notice that there were buildings. But I'm like, I think I know where we're at. So my brother Sean created this outhouse that was the worst thing to use. Like, the kids came back with marks of bites all on their tushies. It was bad. But I walked up the hill. I'm like, I recognize this. I walked up, and there's L'Auberge, like a shining light. And I know the owners, so I'm like, hey, we're just camping here. Do you mind if I use your washroom while I'm here? He's like, no, it's okay, you can use it. So every time I need to use the washroom, I'd tell the kids, gotta go to the washroom, guys. And they'd be like, okay, see you in a bit. And I'd walk up the hill. I'd use a nice air-conditioned bathroom. I'd walk back down. Whew, that was tough, guys. They didn't know that whole trip, but when they found out after, they're like, what? What? They were so angry. Even today, they're like, don't talk about that. I love it. All right. As you take time with your feast, if you take a meal, slow down. Fathers and mothers, delight in your kids. Kids, delight in your parents. Tell them something that you're so grateful for. And then take a moment and say, guys, what are you grateful with the Lord? I know some of you do this on a regular basis, but some of you don't. So in that moment, say, guys, what are you grateful for? I do this usually at Christmas time or Easter, and people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, they don't know what to do. And then once we start, people start to get into it. Yeah, I'm grateful for blah, blah, blah. You know, they begin to share. Delight in creation. Delight in relationships. Take some time. These are other things. Reading. Take some time to delight in music, in painting, photography, baking, fishing, board games, sitting around a campfire, a good coffee. I've become aware that I don't even savor coffee anymore because why? I'm hurried. I want to take time. I'm going to try to find the best coffee I can next week, and I'm just going to sit and enjoy my coffee. And I have older kids, but when they go to maybe ask me to do something, I'm like, Sabbath. But what I hope for you guys to do is teach your younger kids, guys, we're not doing today like that. That can wait till Monday. Questions, go ahead, put up. Delight. What genuinely brings you joy? This is what you should be planning for as a family. When was the last time you laughed without looking at the clock? Because you didn't have to rush away. You could savor that moment. What activities leave you more grateful to God, and what has overload stolen from your ability to enjoy? That's the question right there. What has overload caused you and has stolen from you? Somebody's got company showing up at their house, I can hear. And the last one, we've just been talking about it, worship. for the sake of time, I'm just going to go through this. Just we've already said it. When you stop and rest and delight, your eyes go to worship. We're going to start next Saturday with worship. We're going to actually start next Saturday with celebration. Then we're going to take some time and we're going to put those things in the box that we need to stop and give to the Lord. Part of what we're going to do next Saturday is we're going to take time and we are going to pray a blessing over our kids. Right? We have an inheritance. We are the inheritance even of what Jesus and the Jewish people. So I think we should use the prayer too. That's what I'm trying to say, right? I think we should be praying over our kids. May the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. And we're going to do more than that, but we're going to pray over our kids. And then we're going to do a little more worship. I'm going to share for a little bit. I want to do a little bit of community and just bless each other. And then we're going to, because the candles lit, we know for 24 hours, we're resting. Now, I don't know what you're going to do. Maybe you're going to go out to dinner somewhere. Maybe you're going to have people back to your house. But here's what I would really encourage you to do. Prepare your meal. Oh, I wanted to share that. I'll find it at some point. Listen, the reality is if you don't prepare for next week, it won't work. Like what I hope to do, if we stay at home, my plan is Saturday, we're going to get the house together and we're going to do all the chores that need to be done. And this is what the Jewish people do. They actually set their table like royalty is coming. Well, I love to do that. That's one of my favorite things to do. So we're going to set the table. So when we come home, if we're eating at home after church, when I come home, we're not cooking a meal. We're reheating a meal. Thank God for microwaves, right? So it's not like, okay, now we got to get all this together. It's going to be heated up. Let's sit down and let's enjoy. So you got to prepare. What does that look like? I would be preparing, if I were you, whatever you're cooking or having the next day so you don't have to cook it. You just take it out. Prepare. You need to look ahead to see how do I rest. Now, by the way, this is interesting. Jewish people, their Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday. So they go to work on Friday like a regular day, but a lot of places let them get out early to prepare for Sabbath. It's built into their culture that they know Friday afternoon, we are all preparing for Sabbath. And then we're going to laugh. We're going to party. We're going to enjoy, we're going to delight, and our eyes are going to turn back to the Lord of how good he is. Now, I don't know, like when people go, man, you sound legalistic, I'm like, I sound like I'm going to have a lot of fun. If you want to think that's legalistic, that's up to you. But I'll tell you this, my heart's going to respond to it. My body's going to respond to it. Joy is going to be developed. Friendship is going to be developed. And if you think that's legalistic, you're reading the wrong Bible. Because Jesus came to build relationships and he wanted our relationship to be with the one. But he also wanted our relationship to be with others. Amen? So what are you going to do on your Sabbath? I hope you're not going to build more bricks. Evan's like, I am not building bricks on Sabbath. Maybe Saturday on Sabbath, you're going to, you know, prepare by building bricks. Your room has to be clean, right? Right, Mom? Because Mom can't walk in and see a dirty room. She'd be like, this is not how we Sabbath. Here's what I encourage you to do as we close. They're a perfect example. Evan, how old are you? 13. I love that Evan listens. I really do appreciate that, Evan. And your daughter is 11. See, they're at a great age where you can sit down and go, guys, first of all, I want to ask you guys, what do you want to eat on our feast? Like, what is your favorite food? Plan it. Now, the whole meal cannot be ice cream. Like that, you have to have real food too. But then as you say it, you begin to build with them what this day is going to look like because you want them to be a part of it. But then you can also say, guys, can we clean the house and our rooms too? Can we prepare? See, that's the key. If royalty's coming over, wouldn't you want your house to be ready? And if you think of Sabbath like a royalty because it's a blessing and a gift from God, you prepare. So the kids get involved. Yeah, I'm going to get my room ready. This is going to be awesome. And then you're like, Sabbath is here. We're going to rest. We're going to celebrate. We're going to delight. Why don't you stand? So really next week, I'm not going to talk about overload. I'm going to talk about Sabbath or whatever the Lord shows next week. So the reality is for all of us that you choose to do what you want to do. You don't have to join us. I pray and hope that you'll try this. I hope that you try it and it becomes such a delight that you go, let's do that every week. Now, it'll look different every week. But you can begin to go, you know what? Rest is going to become a rhythm of our life. Once a week, just like God did. But for you, the other thing we talked about, have you begun to take, you know, you've put your phone away. Do you have times in your life where you're like, I'm not. Maybe for some of you, you've cut way back like me and on the news. Like, find ways to bring rest into your life on a regular basis. So, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for all that you've spoken over this overload series. Lord, we just take time to delight in a baby being born, healthy. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's the simple things we can pass by, but we say thank you for Zechariah. Lord, she is healthy. He is healthy. Lord, we pray you continue to keep them healthy. We thank you for even Michelle and Josh. They had, forgetting the name just recently. Anybody remember Josh and Michelle? Ryerson? Bryson, thank you. Lord, we thank you for Bryson. Keep him healthy, Father God. Keep the family healthy. And we delight in children. Lord, as we go today, I pray, Father God, that we would rest even before our Sabbath. I pray that today would be a Sabbath, that we would rest and we would focus on you and we would delight in all that you've done. You are a good God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.